In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like my dear old friend, Father Jacob Myers, used to say about this Sunday, well, here we go again. Because this Sunday, the Sunday of Zacchaeus, is like someone sending up a flare. It's a reminder that Lent is approaching. Although the Sunday is not part of the Lenten Triodion, which we will enter into next week, it signals its coming. And so it's a very important thing for us to sort of take it as a wake-up call. Even though it feels like we just got out of Nativity and all that fasting, which we did. This year, of course, Pascha is very soon in the year. It's moved up, and so consequently, the Lenten season will start much earlier. And so here we are in January already with the Sunday of Zacchaeus. And it is like a flare. Because you see, the church works us slowly into this. It sort of reminds us as we go along so that we don't all of a sudden come to Lent and then bam, here it is. You're taken by surprise. You're fasting. You're doing all these other things. And it just throws you into some kind of turmoil. No, although most of us treat Lent like that, the Sundays that precede it are very important to sort of warm us up to the very idea. And Zacchaeus starts this off. Of course, we have only 3 weeks left of meat before the end of meat, before meat fair comes. And so we have to at this point think, well, I've got 3 weeks to get rid of all of my carnivorous appetites before I have to move into something else. And so the church offers us Zacchaeus Sunday, followed by Publican and Pharisee next week, and followed by Prodigal Son, and then by the Remembrance of the Last Judgment, and then finally Forgiveness Sunday, which is also the commemoration, if you could even call it that, of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. So we have a long time to sort of work into this whole thing with much preparation if we pay attention to it. And that's something that's very, very important. Look at your calendar. See what's coming up. Understand that, yes, okay, Lent is right around the corner. I need to start thinking about these things. The church offers us this period once a year so that we can renew ourselves, so that we can again, approach God in repentance. We're supposed to be doing this all year long, obviously. But the church knows the human condition. The church understands that even our best intentions do not always come to fruition. And so we again move into Lent, where we are sort of compelled to at least, if we don't become truly repentant, we're compelled to at least hear things about repentance, to change our diets, to sort of wake us up from our lethargy throughout the entire rest of the year in order to be able to worthily receive the resurrection of the Lord at the end of Lent. Now, Zacchaeus, of course, it's an interesting gospel with all sorts of commentaries on it. The 15th Sunday of Luke that this gospel reading is assigned to. Zacchaeus, of course, is a man that was short in stature. Some of the fathers say he was also short in spiritual stature as well, that he was a man who was the chief tax collector, and that he was rich. I love that one little sentence there that it throws in, and he was rich. As if to show us, okay, well, this guy's got a lot going for him, except for maybe his height. And so it's all the more amazing what he ends up doing. The Lord approaches in a crowd, and there's nothing to give us to indicate that the Lord was somehow dressed differently from anyone else in the crowd. He would probably be hard to distinguish from anybody that he was with. He wasn't like a Hollywood star or something, like you see these clowns out on the red carpet all dressed up and looking funny and everything, wanting to separate themselves from the rest of the people. No, the Lord was absolutely like one of us. And so Zacchaeus would have had trouble seeing him. But he was probably far away, because St. Gregory Palamas tells us even if he was close, he probably could have located him. But no, he saw the crowd, so he runs down the road and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. And he sits there waiting to see who this man is, what this commotion was about. And it had to be more than mere curiosity. It had to be something that was touching his heart, too. Because if you think about it, the man who was the chief tax collector, probably the most hated man in the area, the wealthiest man in the area, is not likely to run and climb into a sycamore tree and draw attention to himself, because he would not normally want that attention. So there was something there that was touching him. It's almost like if the Lord was going through New York City and Bernie Madoff came and climbed up into a tree to be able to see the Lord. That's the type of person we're talking about here in that particular community, that type of notoriety. And so the Lord, spotting him in the tree, immediately knowing his name, knowing all about him, says, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I must need come to your house today." How startled he must have been. How surprised he must have been. Because Zacchaeus, again, was just trying to see. And yet the Lord pulls him out of the tree and tells him to come down, that he wants to be that afternoon at his house. Now, St. Maximus the Confessor, who we also celebrate today, says that that sycamore tree stands for something else. It stands for our sins, how all of us must climb over all of our sins, must stand atop them, crush them underneath in order to worthily spot the Lord, in order to gain his attention, so that he might invite us into his company as well. The Lord, he says, is calling all of us. He's saying to all of us, come down away from your sins, because I am coming to visit you. I am coming to be with you. Now Zacchaeus, startled as he was, did as he was told, and he immediately repented. The good that was sitting there in his heart came to fruition that day. And he said, "Lord, I give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore fourfold to them." Now, in doing this fourfold, it wasn't simply out of Zacchaeus' generosity. That's actually what the law prescribed in the book of Exodus. You can find that, a fourfold restitution. And so Zacchaeus essentially, for all the people that he defrauded, because it wasn't a question of if he had defrauded someone, it was a question of how many he had defrauded. He gave up everything. This man who was rich embraced poverty in order that he might be saved. And the Lord said, "Now Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham, and today salvation has come to his house." Has come to his house. And so we could see why the church puts this Sunday before the beginning of the pre-Sundays to Lent that we find in the Lenten Triodion. It's a hearkening. It's a calling. It's saying, okay, let's wipe the slate clean. Let's have you forget about all of the things that you have done this past year. Come to me in repentance. Trample your sins. Come away from the tree. Come see me close up instead of far away. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're expected to do on this Sunday, to start thinking about these things, to start beginning to take the Lenten experience into our lives, because Lent is an experience. I say this every single year, that you can pay rapt attention to Great Lent. You can ignore Lent completely, if you want to. We all have free will. We're all able to do that. But the devil knows what time of year it is. He's very well aware that the church of Christ, Jesus Christ's body, is entering into this holy season, and he doesn't like it. And he will come at you whether or not you're prepared for him. It doesn't matter. And so it's better to be prepared, to be aware, to be awake, to be on the alert, to want to be able to come and touch the face of God during this period, and to completely dispel any wiles of the devil, because we all have the power to do that. The devil has no power over anyone, lest we give it to him. That's the trouble we run into sometimes. Well, you know, why is this happening to me? And on and on and on. And well, you know, what have you done to signal to the powers of evil that somehow you're open to it, that you're okay with it? Every time you sin, you do that. You say, hey, I'm okay with it. Come on. You know, it's all right. Every time we sin, that's what we're doing. We've got to cut that off. We have to stop. We have to absolutely refuse anything else and understand the great love that the Lord has for us, the same love that he showed Zacchaeus, calling him away from his previous life to be with him that day. That same love he offers us. That same love is always there with us. It's always there. We just have to reach and grab it and say, Lord, okay, come to my house. Come to my house. That's the important thing. I mentioned Maximus the Confessor, and I wanted to say just a few words about him also, because it's been a long time since we've had him on a Sunday. And Maximus the Confessor is a very, very important man in the life of the church, a man who was born in the mid-500s, lived to be about 82 years of old, was always a man who was actually brought up under very pious and orthodox parents, was also a very rich man, as Zacchaeus was, because his family was like that. And in the end, he began fighting for the church. He had a great education. He studied philosophy and rhetoric and grammar, all these things that a lot of kids nowadays couldn't even spell those three words, and he spent a lot of time on them and was a genius. He was an absolute genius. And yet he turns and he leaves to engage in the struggles that were going on at the church at the time. He lived at a time when there were three things that were really bothering the church. You know, we won't go into all of these today, but they were monophysitism, monoenergism, and monothelitism, which are three heresies that were in succession created in order to try and compromise with those who were embracing the idea that Jesus Christ had only one nature. And there was a lot of craziness going on with all these things. The emperors were involved. The populace was involved in that certain factions. The emperor was wondering how loyal these factions were going to be to them. There were appeals among all the various Orthodox churches. Theologians were involved. Councils were involved. All kinds of back and forth. The emperor even forbade that anyone speak of the natures or wills of Christ at one point. It was a very tumultuous and turbulent time. I mean, it was crazy that's going on, almost like what's going on in the U.S. Senate today. Well, maybe not that complex. And the people back then were a lot smarter, a lot smarter. But everything was getting so stewed up that Maximus became involved in all of these different discussions, so much so, although he never became a priest, so much so that he was the best friend of one of the confessors at that time, Pope Martin in Rome. He was known everywhere. People sought him out. He did all kinds of beautiful writings. At one point he said, this is all so nutty, I'm out of it. I'm just going to a monastery. And he did. And he wrote many chapters of the books that we call the Philokalia. One called Four Centuries on Love is just beautiful. Very difficult to read, but very beautiful. Until finally Maximus, at the end of his life, when some of the finding himself in the realm of Constantinople, which had been taken over by the Monothelites, they ended up saying, well, you know, if you're not going to come around to our way of thinking, we're not going to let you speak anymore. And so they ripped his tongue out by the root. But miracle by miracle, Maximus was still able to speak more clearly than he had before. This infuriated them all the more. So they chopped off his right hand also. And then they dragged him and several of his disciples through the streets with his tongue in his hand dangling behind him on a stand to make the point to the people. And then they took him and threw him in a cart. This old man, at that time he would have been 79 years old, and took him into the cart and drug him away, where for 3 years he spent in a dungeon, having to fend for himself in that condition before he finally gave up his very, very sanctified soul to the Lord. An amazing man who would not compromise the things of the Orthodox faith. He didn't care who came at him. Patriarchs, emperors, friends, it didn't matter. He was absolutely not going to give one iota to his enemies at that time. And so this man, after all this suffering, that's why we call him a confessor, reposes in the Lord and has left us so many wonderful things to study and to read since that time. So by his holy prayers, may we all come to fruition ourselves during this Lent. And by the way, you may wonder about Zacchaeus, whatever happened to him. Zacchaeus was one of the apostles of the 70, and he was ordained bishop by St. Peter, bishop of Caesarea in Palestine, where he lived out his days. So you never know, from the tree to the throne. It's hard to explain, but that's what happened. So by his prayers as well, because he's commemorated on April 21st, may our dear Lord bring us all to the heavenly kingdom. Amen.